Recorded live from the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, this is the Soft Verbal Podcast presented by Pelias Pecans.
Awesome.
The Soft Verbal Podcast, your ticket to the latest, most accurate Ole Miss football recruiting information. No spin, no false hopes, just facts from the recruiting trail from RebelGrove.com recruiting analyst Russell Johnson.
Caution, you are about to enter the no spin zone.
And now, here's your host, Neil McCready.
God, here we go again.
Welcome into another edition of the Soft Verbal Podcast presented by Billy's Pecans. I am your host, Neil McCready. Today on the show, I will be joined by Chris Brooks. He is the host of The Gridiron on ESPN Radio 105.9 The Zone. That's on Monday through Friday, 12 to 2 in the Jackson, Mississippi area. He is also the publisher of Mississippi Gridiron Magazine. You can check his work out at MississippiGridiron.com. We will get to Chris in just a minute. First, let me tell you about Billy's Pecans. It's never too early to plan for the holiday season. Thanksgiving is just days from now. As I tape this on Monday, it's really close. Obviously, it's on Thursday, so happy Thanksgiving to everyone. Christmas around the corner. It's the perfect time to line up your Christmas cakes. That Billy's Blueberry Pecan Coffee Cake or the Cinnamon Pecan Coffee Cake would be fabulous ways to wake up to your Christmas morning, maybe your Christmas Eve morning. You can get a jump start on the gift giving season, whether it's business or family. Billy's offers gift towers, samplers, gift bags, and more to please every sweet tooth on your list. Order now, and Billy's will ship your gifts on the dates requested. Here's why you should choose Billy's for your holiday gifting. They make it super easy. Email your list of recipients to gifts, G-I-F-T-S, at Billy's, B-I-L-L-I-E-S, pecans.com. They'll handle the rest. If you want your logo on the gift, they can do that. Even provide a complimentary gift card for you to express whatever you want to that special person. Go to their website. It's billyspecans.com. See what all they have to offer. Their two most recent gifts for corporate clients are the Simply Duo and the Party Trio, but everything you see is a perfect gift. You can order online at billyspecans.com, email at gifts@billyspecans.com, or call 1-800-624-7404. Let Stacy or Bailey assist with your gift-giving needs. We are coming to you from Clark Ford Studios, Clark Ford's in Amory, Mississippi, 662-257-1900 is the number. You call that number. You ask for Corey Clark. You tell Corey what new Ford you're looking for. He'll send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. It's that simple. There's no haggling. It's right to the bottom line. You get a great Ford product, great service after the sale. And then once you get your quote, you can shop it around if you like. That's okay. You'll end up coming back to Clark Ford and letting Corey and the people at Clark Ford do for you what they've done for so many other listeners of our family of podcasts, from Missouri to the coast, from Atlanta to Dallas, and all points in between. And that's take the hassle out of the everyday car buying experience. At the end of your deal, tell Corey that you heard about Clark Ford on the Soft Verbal Podcast presented by Billy's Pecans, and you will get $500 off your new Ford from Clark Ford and Amory, 662-257-1900. Now let's take a listen to my interview with Chris Brooks of MississippiGridiron.com here on the Soft Verbal Podcast presented by Billy's Pecans. All right, Chris, welcome into the Soft Verbal Podcast. Really appreciate you giving us some time. I know that we're taping this on Monday. It's a little before 11 a.m. You're going on the air in about an hour. Things are crazy. People are going to be talking about the Egg Bowl, the matchup itself. I'll leave that for you guys. I'll let you break down Egg Bowls with callers and such, because I don't think, frankly, it's going to be that competitive of a contest. And the action on both campuses, in my opinion, is going to start after the Egg Bowl, not during the Egg Bowl. So let's start with Dan Mullen. He's about to wrap up a 9-3 season at Mississippi State. He will have lost to three top seven teams. He beat everyone he was supposed to beat. I'm assuming that they beat Ole Miss on Thursday. I think Dan Mullen's about to have a decision to make. I think at minimum, Tennessee is going to make him an offer. That's my opinion. And I think he's got that to consider, and there might even be another job or two that could pop up that he's got to think about. Just as we sit here on, as we tape this on a Monday, what's just kind of your feelings about Dan Mullen, where he stands, the decision that perhaps might be in front of him, and kind of how you think it all shakes out?
Well, for one, Dan, he's complicated. His resume is complicated. And he's an, I tell you what, Neil, it's, I could probably phrase it best like this. You know, he's the ultimate hot take coach, whether or not you want to go positive or whether you want to go negative as a media person, because there's a lot of both. You see that SEC record stuff put out all the time. You know, I believe he's the second best coach in the league. I believe it's hands down. I believe he's had a hard job at Mississippi State. He's elevated them to somewhere they've never been before. And all those things are true. And you look at the quarterbacks that he's coached, I mean, all that's is legit. I mean, from Dak to Alex Smith to what he's done with Nick Fitzgerald, and you know, he has had a great run with that. But then on the flip side, you know, if you want to go the negative, you look at the SEC record, which is his SEC West record's not great. And he really has hardly ever beaten teams he was not supposed to beat. But he's never lost the teams that he was supposed to beat, or he's never lost those games. I mean, he's complicated. You know, you can pull the numbers out easy with him compared to anybody else and make them look like you want them to look. I think the guy's a big time coach. I do believe that. Now, in terms of deciding if he wants to go or not, to me that gets complicated too, Neil, because some of these jobs, this is different than when you covered things, you know. You go back a long time. You know, I'm gonna go back to my childhood, you know, when before your media, you know, 80s, 90s. Landscape's not that anymore. And a Tennessee job is still better than the state job, but you know, a lot more pressure.
Yeah, and not by much. It's a better job.
Not by much.
But it's a better job on the periphery. The job itself is sort of the same job.
Yeah, and you can make this argument, even jobs like Florida. Right. They are that you have more resources. That's the bottom line. Okay, to say it's a better job, you have more resources, but you have much less margin for error. You know, look at Jim McElwain. I mean, a couple of division titles, and there were other issues there too that you know fans aren't probably privy to that ultimately results in coaches being fired.
Yeah,
but
McElwain,
The point is, you can't have an SEC record like Dan at Santa State
and
never get that big win and keep the job. You just can't.
You can't. McElwain hung himself after the Outback Bowl. He hung himself that day.
That's right. He wanted to go, don't you think?
Yes, yes. He wanted. He did not like it. It was a bad fit. He took the job. It's kind of a lesson to a lot of coaches, really. The truth is about Jim McElwain is he had a job he liked. He liked Colorado State. He liked living out there. He liked his home. He kind of lived on this ranch kind of thing. And it fit him. He's a guy that they vacation in Montana. That's where they like to go. He and his wife, when they want to unwind and unplug, they go to Montana, which is awesome because everything I've ever seen about Montana, it looks like the kind of place that I don't want to just go unwind there. I want to go live there. I mean, I love what I see of Montana. I've never been. I'm going to go. It's on my bucket list of things to do. But my point is he gets up at Gainesville with this huge media core. Everything's under a microscope, and he didn't like it. He was insulated from a lot of that when he was working for Nick Saban, because when you work for Nick Saban, you just coach football. You coach football,
right,
and you recruit, and that's it. Well, when you're the head football coach at Florida, you don't just coach football. There's so much more to your gig. And so anyway –
And it beat him down. You could, at the end, Neil, it beat him down.
So if you're Dan Mullen, you've got this gig at Mississippi State where, I'm trying to think how to say this nicely. Ah, screw it. You've got one media outlet, the Clarion Ledger, that covers you objectively.
That's it.
Everybody else is a fan. Everybody else is for you. They spin things for you. They make excuses for you when it goes badly. Yeah.
Well, they want to see you win. I mean, they want to help.
They're cheering. Yeah, they want to help. He's not going to encounter that at Tennessee. At Tennessee, there's going to be columnists. There's going to be John Adams is there. Jimmy Hyams is there. The Tennessean is going to send people there that when you lose, when you put up a stinker, they're going to call it a stinker. And it's a different job. Now, there's more money there. It's not money for him. Look, Dan Mullen's getting rich. Dan Mullen is rich next year, no matter what. Dan Mullen is making $5-plus million next year, whether it's in Starkville or Knoxville or Eugene, Oregon, or wherever the hell else he might end up. He's going to get $5 million-plus. The guys that are on his staff are going to make a ton of money. But it's about now when you want that defensive coordinator, perhaps. And I'm not picking a Mississippi State's coordinator, but you want, I'm using that as an example. You want that defensive coordinator that you just can't afford in Starkville because they just can't go there. Well, Tennessee will go there. Yeah. Now when you want that nutrition guy that you can't afford at Starkville, you can get him in Knoxville. That's where the Tennessee job is better. It's better because it has more money on the periphery to add analysts to do those kinds of things. So that's where Dan has this massive decision to make, and everyone tells me who knows him that he's really torn, and I guess I can see why.
Well, and, you know, Barrett Salee, he brought up a great point when I talked to him last week on the show. It comes down to one word for Dan, right, and it's ego. I mean, if his ego is part of this, and if he wants to be in the same conversation as Urban Meyer or Nick Saban, Jimbo Fisher, if he wants to be that guy, he's going to go because it gives him, it doesn't ensure it by any means, Neil. It gives him the opportunity. That game that he lost against Alabama this week is like all the others. I mean, he's constantly losing that game. If he wants a chance to win that game, then you take the Tennessee job. And look, and I know people are really scared to talk like this about these jobs. Traditionally, Tennessee boosters are going to help you with more players than state boosters.
They have a much bigger player procurement program than you have at Mississippi State.
That's the money part I'm talking about. You have an opportunity there, and that's just alumni money. Like, that is a large base. They had it rocking 80s, 90s. Players were there. They will give him better players, okay? And I think he's a straight-laced coach as much as they can be. He will have more players there. So, but at the same time, I want to be fair to State. He has made that job completely different than when he got there. He has a loaded team for next year, but you know, even a State friend of mine, a media guy, I'm talking to Jake Wimberly here over the weekend, and Jake loves to do the numbers and then that type stuff. He's probably going to go into next year with a loaded team that is still at best third in the West, maybe fourth. So you do wonder about the ceiling there. He's got a good job, can be there as long as he wants. He's just got to decide, you know, what he wants his career to look like.
What's your gut feeling?
I don't know. And this really gets into the speculation stuff. And I like to be fair to State fans because I have a lot of State friends.
Sure.
I wonder about all of this off-the-field stuff going on. I mean, you and I know as soon as the Ole Miss sanctions come down and that's over with, it's going to be a lot of stuff lobbed at State. I don't know if it goes anywhere or not, and I don't even care to speculate on it. I guess he could factor that in on some level if he wants to worry about it or not. This is a small state, similar to Alabama, Auburn. I mean, this rivalry is crazy. Does he want to get out of that a little bit? I mean, and on top of all the other things we're already talking about, if he gets the offer and it's big money, my gut would say he would take it. I don't think, and let me say this, for one reason only, and this is nothing against State. It has nothing to do with him. You don't hire Jimmy Sexton unless you want to look for a better opportunity.
I agree. I think it's 51-49 that he leaves. I think it's we will know by Sunday or Monday. I think he's going to have an offer. I was just talking to Taylor Zarzer for another podcast. It is my opinion that Tennessee has really gotten lucky, that this Gruden thing is such an obsession with their fan base that it distracts them. It has allowed Dan Mullen to get to, as we tape this at 11:08 on a Monday, it has allowed Dan Mullen to focus on his team and his season and not as much of this as he would if there were no groomers out there. But
right.
It's going to get real starting Friday. Tennessee plays Vanderbilt on Saturday. There's no chance Brady Hoke gets the job. There's nothing stopping Tennessee from moving as early as Friday on Dan Mullen. Nothing.
That's right. I mean, there's no coach. You're not trying to be fair to a coach sitting there. I mean, there's nothing. You're right. Thursday could be Thursday night. I mean, they could get something done if they wanted to get it done.
We talk a lot about the Ole Miss job. If the Mississippi State job opened, is there a list of guys that immediately pop up there that makes sense?
You know what? I mean, I haven't seen many of those lists. You know, their media is real careful not to talk about it. I think their media is real careful not to talk about it. And I like to do the speculation thing, but you're really making up names out of thin air at this point because of how little coverage that anybody's going to give that. I don't know the first name. I mean, to tell you how crazy, I don't know the first name, you know, to be honest.
The only names I've heard Mike Norvell, I've heard Neil Brown, I've heard Manny Diaz, the former defensive coordinator who's done a great job at Miami with Mark Richt. You know, you hear those names. Those names are just easy names to throw off. I will say this. I think Dan Mullen, if he were to leave, and again, assuming that the off-the-field stuff is just noise, if there's
sure.
substance to it, that's a totally different conversation. But if it's just noise, and to my knowledge, at least to this point, it's mostly noise. If it's noise, he's leaving a pretty good job. He's leaving a team that will be a top 20 team going into the season. Some juniors need to stay for the team to excel. He's leaving. This is where it gets into your wheelhouse. He's also leaving a pretty good basis for that 2019 recruiting class, which is loaded, which is my next question. And it's what ties into the Ole Miss job that we'll get into in a second. How much of the momentum that Mississippi State has in that 2019 class, which today is considerable, how much of the momentum would be lost with Dan Mullen leaving Mississippi State for Tennessee?
Well, they would lose some, but it's a weird year. This is not a very good year in Mississippi recruiting. You know, right now there aren't many 4 or 5-star players or no fives. There's only a couple of 4-star type kids in the state. So if he left, I don't think a lot of those kids would have ample opportunities to go somewhere else, to be quite honest. Their best options would be Mississippi State or Ole Miss, but you look at the issues they're having there, I don't think it would affect this year a whole lot. I think it would affect a lot next year.
Right.
Because we have a terrific class of kids coming up. I mean, give you an example, you know, by one service, if we have one 4-star kid this year, which there's I know a couple sites, I can't remember how many y'all have. It was only 2, I think. Next year has upwards of 10 to 12 of those kind of kids. It's a completely different year. They could lose some traction for next year because there will be a lot of schools out of state that are working Mississippi hard. That's not the case right now.
Okay, let's talk about the Ole Miss job. Ole Miss, Matt Luke's not getting the permanent job. He's done a great job. He did everything they asked him to do. He maintained the program. They did not quit. There's been no significant off-the-field issues at all. That is a credit to Matt. I think he's positioned himself to be quite attractive to a South Alabama, a Troy, if Neil Brown were to leave, those kinds of jobs. I think he's put himself in position to get one of those jobs and do well at it. When you look at the Ole Miss job today, and as we record this, there's no sanctions that have been handed down. They're coming, and no one knows what they are. How attractive is the Ole Miss job, and how much more attractive would it get if Dan Mullen were to leave?
Well, like you said, it all depends on the NCAA stuff. I mean, in a vacuum, if you remove that, this is the same argument that we just had for Tennessee and State. I mean, the league is close now. I mean, all of these jobs are good. You look at the money everybody's paying, and there are benefits to all of them. Okay, so it's a very good job. You're sitting right outside of Memphis, which hasn't produced a ton of kids lately, but still, big city, there's kids to pull from. Look, this has gotten them in trouble, but traditionally they've recruited pretty good. I would say even on average, you know, 15 to 20, even that's kind of normal for that program. So you get some players in there. I think it's an attractive job. Now, this NCAA stuff is a whole different animal. I mean, you I don't even know if you can really form an opinion, Neil, until you know what's coming there. And you're right. Nobody knows. I don't think anybody knows yet. I mean, do you think that that is out? Let me ask you this, Neil. I'm going to flip this around on your own podcast. Do you think outside of just the handful of people involved that anybody in any of these parties actually knows what's coming?
No, I don't know that anyone at Ole Miss has anything more than what would be a slightly educated guess.
That's what I think. That's exactly what I think.
I mean, I think if you were to what's it called, sodium pentothal into Ross Bjork's veins and get him to talk, which would actually be a lot of fun because Ross is pretty guarded. If you did that, I think Ross would. It's my guess. I think he would tell you he doesn't know when it's coming. He thinks it's coming fairly soon. He's frustrated it's not there yet. He thought it would have been there by now. And he thinks it is probably going to bring relatively good news for his program. That's what I think he would tell you.
I do too. I'm with you. Everything I've heard, same thing as that, even though there's no definitive statement from anybody on any of it. But, that's a good job in a vacuum. I mean, I think now here's the problem they're having right now, though, Neil. Let's say the NCAA really wants to drag this out. They could drag this out and force them to hire a coach without knowledge of the penalties. And I would think that would affect who they're able to hire. So if that's the circumstance, I think you're looking at, if you're lucky, like, the Norvells of the world. They don't appear to have any interest in, like, a Lane Kiffin, which is, he's the hot coach this year in terms of actually coaching, but people are staying away from that. I mean, I think you're looking like Norvell-type hires. If it opens up more and if they knew that the sanctions weren't going to be just further crippling, then it would probably open things up. But I'm to the point now, they might have to hire a guy before they really know.
We take a break in our interview with Chris Brooks to tell you that the Soft Verbal Podcast, presented by Billy's Pecans, is also brought to you by Fidelity Mortgage agent John Benelli. John's been in the mortgage business for 13 years. He has extensive experience in conventional loans, FHA loans, USDA rural development loans, VA loans, and bond loans. John specializes in home mortgages and loan services in the Jackson-Flowood area, but he services the entire state of Mississippi, from condos in Oxford to vacation homes on the coast and all points in between. Contact John at fidelitymort.com or 601-842-9764. Fidelity Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 1039190. Podcast also brought to you by the Storage Acquisition Group. The Storage Acquisition Group is an industry-leading expert at identifying and acquiring strategically located storage facilities throughout North America and beyond. As the preferred buyer for some of the largest private owners of self-storage in the world, Director Monty Spencer and his team have upended the acquisitions market by giving facility owners a new avenue to divest. How exactly can self-storage facility owners benefit? It's simple. Their free, no-obligation evaluation even means that you can get a comprehensive picture of your property's value without the need to commit. The group buys direct. It charges no commission or fees. If you're asking yourself, yeah, but I don't own a self-storage facility, I was just enjoying the podcast. Well, listen to this. Even if you're not a buyer, you can benefit as well. The Storage Acquisition Group's buyer has a generous referral program in place for referrals that lead to a closed transaction. Visit www.thestorageacquisitiongroup.com to find out more. Now back to our interview with Chris Brooks of Mississippi Gridiron on the Soft Verbal Podcast, presented by Billy's Pecans. Yeah, there's ways around that, but you have to get really creative. You have to...
With your contracts.
Yeah, you've got to really put some stipulations and some deals, and you've got to get creative, and that's hard. And you can end up digging a deeper hole for your program than you're already in sometimes with those things.
Right.
A name that pops up a lot that we've talked about a lot this week, and I only bring it up now because there's some legitimacy to it. I think it's a long shot. It might be a really long, long shot. But Willie Taggart's name has popped up. There's some legitimacy to it. It's kind of the elephant in the room. You tell me, the fact that he's African-American, and is as successful as he has been, obviously for Ole Miss, given the reputation and the stereotypes that people continue to try to hang on the program and on the university,
yeah.
it would be a monumental moment in the program's history, in the school's history, to have an African American head football coach. There's no question about that. But what impact would that have? What would Taggart have on recruiting in Mississippi, in your opinion?
I think he would recruit well, even though there's people out there that would tell you he's not just a terrific recruiter, or he wasn't, you know, at South Florida. But he, tell you what he could do, Neil, and I agree with what you said. To be honest, my opinion is they should hire an African American coach. And I'll just say it bluntly. Considering the history they've had there, it would be a monumental deal for the history of the football program. I think they should do it. And on top of that, and I make no bones about this, and I'll talk about this on my show some today, it's embarrassing how few African American coaches there are right now in head coaching positions. Any effort to help that along, I can get on board with that. But I do think it would help them. In terms of this class, if you look at what he's doing at Oregon, which he had a big win this weekend, you know, he has the number six class coming in, and seven or eight of those guys are from this area. So there's the possibility he could pull a few kids in this year to maybe help save this class. I think he would recruit well for Mississippi, from what I know of him. I think he would put together a good staff. But more importantly, and I do think this is important, and I realize this is short-term thinking, I fully acknowledge it. After the year and a half that the fans have had, and a lot of the apathy that's sinking into that thing, I do not think they need to hire someone that's only going to further apathy. They could use a name coach from a name program. And in that regard, I think Willie Taggart will be a big deal hire. I wouldn't be shocked to see him do well in that job.
You know what, Chris? I don't think that's a short-term thought. I think that's a big picture thought. I think if Saturday night did not do anything else for Ole Miss, and the Arkansas game, was it 2.5 weeks ago? If those two things yeah. did nothing more for Ross Bjork and the people at Ole Miss to show them, hey, not all your fault, don't get me wrong, but the enthusiasm's gone, you better get it back. You make a boring hire, and I say this all the time, and people, they hear it so much that they just go to sleep. I'm 47. I'm a father of three, and I realize I'm in sports writing, so I don't count. But if I were an engineer or an attorney or a banker or an insurance agent, would I take my family of five to those games? When the kids are like, "Yeah, Dad's kind of boring." Or you could spend that money on other things. You could spend that money on, if you say I lived in Nashville, you could spend that money on Predators tickets, Titans tickets. We could turn that money into an outdoor kitchen or something. It's expendable income that if it's not exciting, if going to a game is not exciting, people stop going, and we have short attention spans. Getting them to come back is difficult. Ole Miss this year has lost momentum. There's no way around it. This is a critical hire, because if you make a bad hire, a boring hire, a hire that's not inspiring, you run the risk of losing people for 3, 4, 5 years. And not all, some of those people will come back, but they won't all come back. Now, if you make an exciting hire that gets people fired up, 2017's a hiccup. You can survive a hiccup. It's harder to survive something more significant than a hiccup. And that's, to me, that's where Ole Miss is. And I think what you just said is exactly right.
They can't hire somebody that's going to further the problem. And even the most hardcore friends of mine, and I like being a fan. I'm probably not as big a fan as some people, at least in this market, think I am. But I enjoy going to the games and being a fan. I enjoy my kids being fans. And even the most hardcore friends of mine, Neil, like, it just hasn't been fun. And it's not just the losing. It's all the off-the-field things that are just gut punches. I mean, it's been a year and a half of this has not been fun for a long time. And you're right. It's just like business. I mean, people have walked out the door. And you're already not going to get them all back. unless you do something monumental. I mean, a lot of that's gone. If they trot somebody out there that adds zero excitement to that fan base, it's only going to exacerbate the problem they have in trying to rebuild that thing. I know the circumstances are tough to hire somebody right now, but let's say Willie Taggart's the guy, and let's assume that's something that fans could be, they could be excited about, a guy that's at Oregon right now and was a big name hire. I don't care what you have to pay to do it. You're paying for PR, and I'm fine with saying that. If you have to overpay somebody, you're overpaying. But they can't trot somebody out there that fans are just going to be completely just nonchalant about, just don't care. They can't do that.
I couldn't agree more. That's why I think if you have to go outside of your comfort zone financially, you have to do it at this point because there's a really solid chance that you'll get paid back. That money will come back in spades. You go with the boring hire, you might pay for that in ways that financially are not survivable, frankly. It's I'm glad I'm not Ross Bjork right now. He does a really good job. This is one of the very few times on earth that I'm glad I'm doing a podcast and not a coaching search right now, because there's a lot of pressure on him to get it right.
Now, let me tell you this, too. I do think Ross could be a very good AD there. All right? I do. I think he's been thrown in. He's made some mistakes. I no need to go into all the second guessing. It's been an impossible situation. But it's not entirely fair to him, but it is so toxic right now within the fan base. Now, everything they do is scrutinized and criticized, every detail. It's important for his job there that he hire somebody that fans are going to get by.
Yeah, I agree. I couldn't agree more. It's in his best interest that happens. They win in basketball. He retains Andy Kennedy and kind of gets this NCAA thing over with, and it's a breath of fresh air. It's a critical few months coming up. All right, it's a critical few weeks coming up in high school football. We're not going to spend a lot of time. You've got a show to get ready for. I guess we're in the state semifinals, the North half, South half finals. Say that 10 times fast. Give me some games that intrigue you, and then kind of look ahead, if you would, Chris, a week to the state championships that'll be here in Oxford. If you're someone in Oxford or in the surrounding area and you're like, yeah, I might go to the games, what are some potential matchups that just for a casual fan would be kind of fun to watch?
Yeah, we'll just look at the big ones, and we'll be brief with this. But like on a 6A level, there's a couple teams in this metro area that have a chance to advance. You know, Madison Central is playing at Starkville this weekend. Pearl is likely going to win this weekend. They're hosting. So I would expect Pearl in the state championship game. There are a couple good players on that roster. They're committed to state, you know, John Carice Patterson, but they're worth going to see. And Madison Central, the same thing. If you're an Ole Miss fan, you know, Cam White's on that team. Cam White could certainly end up at Ole Miss for next year. So I would get out and watch that game. You could get a metro deal here between Madison Central and Pearl. Probably the biggest game would be on a 5A level, where you have West Point. They're going to walk to the state title game. But they could get some opposition from the South, I mean, in Hattiesburg. Tony Vance and those guys, they play Laurel, and that's not a gimme by any means. But Hattiesburg has four or five Division I kids on the offensive side of the ball. A couple of them are juniors. Three of them are seniors, but they are very, very good offensively. West Point's been historically good this year, especially defensively, and people kind of consider them unbeatable, which I'm in that camp. But I'd like to see Hattiesburg get a shot at them. Hattiesburg is ranked top five in the state, 5A. It'd be a great game to get out. So you'd see a ton of points would be my guess, even though West Point defensively has been good. But those are your big ones. I mean, some of these other levels, you know, Jefferson Davis County in 3A, that's used to be Bassfield, and combined with Prentice, I think they are very likely to get back to the title game. 4A, there's not a lot of huge names. You know, if I said Poplarville is going to get there from the South, I mean, that's not going to excite a ton of people. But those 5 and 6A matchups, they could be really good.
Give me some kids' names, and I'm in particular – from that 2019 class that everyone's so excited about. Are there a handful of those guys that could be playing in Oxford in a week or so?
There's not a ton of them that are still playing right now. Like Pearl doesn't have any of them. Madison Central, no, not they don't have it. Starville's got a kid or two, but I'm not even going to bring them up with Oxford. You don't have a whole lot of those kids still out there.
High school football in Mississippi, there's a lot of talented players. Is the state closing the gap in terms of the schematics and that type thing where the kids are more college ready than they were a few years ago, or is that still a problem?
Well, I think it's a problem everywhere. It's probably exacerbated a little bit here just because, you know, the numbers, population, that sort of thing, how many kids we have, how many coaches we have. I think we were a little bit behind. Not a little bit behind. We were a lot behind, you know, 10, 15 years ago. They have closed the gap a lot, but you know how this is. You know, this is the South. You're still going to have a lot of coaches out there who are old school and like to do it their way. But I know this, when I go to games on Friday nights, there are more coaches now that put the ball in the air and they're spreading the field. And it's very similar to what you're going to see on a college setting. Problem for this particular class of kids coming through, there just aren't very many good players. No quarterbacks and a few running backs. I mean, the biggest name was Fabian Franklin at Hattiesburg. It's committed to state. And Fabian just hasn't had a very good year. It's just, this is not a good group of kids coming through. Now, that's going to change next year. I mean, you asked about the 19 kids and where they play in. There's just not many of them that are still on the field right now. A lot of those kids have already gone home. Their team's lost. But next year's class is absolutely going to rival that class a couple of years ago that had Benito Jones and A.J. Brown and D.K. and Jeffrey Simmons and that whole group that came through. Next year's group is going to be very similar.
Well, enjoy your week of Egg Bowl trash talk on from callers.
Oh, love it. Oh yeah, that's so much fun.
It's one of the, there's a lot of things about radio that I miss, if I'm honest. Rivalry week, and I did it in Alabama for 6 years. Rivalry week phone calls are not something I ever will miss. Ever.
Some of these, and this is, you know, it's the small percentage of people, and you got to be careful that a few people don't ruin it. But I swear, man, I mean, some of these people are certifiable. And the yes. few that you meet occasionally, you'll walk across a couple, and, yep, that's exactly what you thought. I mean, they're certifiable, not able to talk about anything other than exactly what they're talking about on Twitter. And that's their life. But, man, it's not many of those cats. I mean, 95% of the fans from both fan bases, for that matter, they're the same people. 90% of them are the same people. They just pick different teams. There's a very select few of them. They'll make you uncomfortable how big of fans they are. And I'm like you. That's really not my thing either. I don't like the whole trash talk thing.
Well, my man, I really appreciate the time. I know you got to get ready for your show. Let me know when I can return the favor, and I'm available for you anytime you need me. And have a great Thanksgiving to you and your family.
You too. Look, I've been scheduling you to come on for weeks now, waiting for this stupid NCAA thing to finish. And it's never going to finish. But as soon as we get anywhere close, we get something on that, I'm calling you.
I will be waiting for the call, and I'll take it, and I'll be happy to join you for as long as you need me that day.
You're a good man. Have a good Thanksgiving there.
Same to you, Chris. Talk to you soon.
All right. See you later.
Bye-bye. Again, our thanks to Chris Brooks for joining us today. We'll be back next week with another Soft Verbal podcast presented by Billy's Pecans. We'll be talking probably more coaching search, how it impacts recruiting. We'll take a look at state championship games. We'll also talk about some of the recruiting races that could be impacted by change around the country as the early signing period approaches. We'll talk about those topics and more on the Soft Verbal podcast presented by Billy's Pecans next week. Until then, take care, have a great Thanksgiving, and we will talk to you soon. Goodbye.